Now entering Nerdist.com.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense.
I'm Greg Wyszynski of Yahoo Sports Puck Daddy Blog.
Oh, I didn't realize we were doing this.
Oh, jeez.
I thought we were just going to introduce Linda.
And,
okay. Aren't you a part of this?
I'm Mila Kunis. You're and in, Jim Beam Bourbon.
You're in Puck Soup.
Yeah.
We're honored to be in the presence of Linda Cohn from ESPN today. Not ESPN Today. I don't even know.
No.
It probably
ESPN,
is a show at some
ESPN
point.
It's
too.
Probably another network. By the way, thank you for the invite, and I have now checked you off the bucket list because I love both of you. I'm big fans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where are we in the bucket list? Where do we rank? It's like licking a turtle's shell.
Oh, that's a great point.
Who else
I haven't, you know, I'm not about analytics, so I haven't figured out the numbers and the rankings yet.
Buying a scratch-off ticket from a bodega. And then going on Puck Soup. We're ranking somewhere on that.
Is that yours?
Is that
will you host?
Oh, my bucket.
Yeah,
here's my bucket list.
Oh, you already have it listed.
Yes, because I am a very unhealthy eater, and I imagine I don't have many years left.
We'll analyze your diet later.
Yeah.
I want to go to Japan and have sushi in Japan. I've never been to Japan. I could go to the Tokyo 2020 Games. That's a possibility.
Wait a minute. Let's get back to the sushi. You realize it might not taste like the sushi. You, me, and Dave knows
and
from
also,
here.
We have sushi
so this
here.
Is, this is where you're like...
Some
you're
of
like,
the best.
You're like, oh,
right
he's
here
a,
in the Big Apple. Right.
He's a fat American, so he probably buys simply tempura fried sushi or that fucking California roll where it's just a mayonnaise and coleslaw and then imitation crap. No, no, Linda, I have refined sushi tastes.
Okay.
Like, what do you want to have, like, pulled right out of the ocean?
No, yeah. I want to have the one with the salmon and the cream cheese.
That's very Japanese.
They call it a bagel roll.
Yeah, the smoked
it's
salmon.
Are you drunk?
You missed the smoked salmon.
Have you been drinking? Like, I want to have steak in Texas.
Hold on. Do you eat sushi? I don't even know. What's your sushi bite?
You name it. I can put it in my mouth.
All right.
Let's leave it there.
You name it. And I can put it in my mouth.
Can you tweet that later? You didn't ask me.
I was going to get to it.
I let other people order for me because I have no clue. But it always tastes great. Mm. I let the pros
smart
order.
It
right.
Smart.
Can't go wrong.
A little sexist, though, letting somebody order for you.
I like to delegate.
I think it's actually more in the Japanese tradition, to be honest with you.
There it is. Yeah, why be like everyone else, gentlemen?
Exactly. You know what? The sushi in the, what's that Bill Murray movie where he's
Which
in
one?
Japan?
With Lost in Translation.
Yeah, ooh, like great
they,
film.
They order the sushi when they're having the fight in the place. And
yep.
It looked gross, actually. It didn't look like the sushi
A lot of people don't know that, but at the end of the film, he whispers in Scarlett Johansson's ear, I actually only like tempura.
Go to McDonald's next time. Just like honey.
Oh.
Linda, you ESPN is back in the. We wanted to have you on because ESPN's back in the hockey game. The World Cup of Hockey is.
We all grew up with it, folks. Remember that.
Brett Hull is to the St. Louis Blues
as Ben Folds is to Ben Folds 5.
As that dude is to Queensryche.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little butchy flavor. That's fine. But, you know, for me, it's about lifelong love for the sport I played and adore.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, ESPN, everyone loves the music, as you nicely hummed.
Yes, thank you.
The first night when we were on the air in the studio with Brett Hull and Chris Chelios, I was the host. On Twitter, there was a lot of lovely reaction regarding the music. So people were, like, really excited about that.
Well, it's like, I feel like they're... And
it's,
I say
comforting.
This,
it's comforting. It's comforting to a lot of us.
Right.
I say this as somebody who's written about ESPN and the NHL for many, many years. I've written in the good times, and I've written in the times when maybe poker was more important.
Yes.
But I feel like it's come back around to a point of real nostalgia for a few things. For NHL Tonight, which I think people maybe didn't value at the time as being... I mean, think of it this way. NBC's had the NHL for a decade.
Way too long.
For a
million
There's never been anything that had the attempt at street cred that NHL Tonight had. It's a, they've only done a studio show with the same people for a decade, and NHL Tonight was trying to capture that ESPN2 vibe and be a little bit edgy and be a little bit different.
That niche.
And edgy 2 in the ESPN.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and so great. Keith Olbermann in a leather jacket. Hello. Oh,
we didn't value that at the time. So I think there's nostalgia for that.
Informative.
There's nostalgia for Gary Thorne.
Gary Thorne.
Bill Clement. What a relationship those two have. Yeah.
And I think the Gary Thorne thing is just because, like, when you dial up a highlight from the mid-90s and you don't hear Doc.
It's either Gary Thorne or Steve Levy, pretty much.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you hear Doc a lot, but it's that other voice, and you're like, where did that other voice go?
Yeah. Well, instead, he's on the Orioles.
Yeah, yeah, right. Instead of like, and play a stop, it's Gary Thorne.
Right, and here's the thing. Wow. I like that. What was that? I'm exactly.
Is that was Gary Thorne?
Okay, Doc, I thought it was like a dog imitation of some sort.
Doc is like, and Gary Thorne's
the
like,
Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, my.
But you know what? There's a whole generation that has no clue, the mainstream hockey fan, the casual hockey fan, a whole generation that just thinks Doc Emmerich is the only play-by-play TV guy out there.
It's been that long.
Like,
you think back to, like, on ESPN, who else was, remember when John Davidson was?
Yes, he was the color guy. And of course, he did it for MSG for the New York Rangers and was great with Sam Rosen, the dream team for Ranger fans.
Oh, yeah, everybody knows Linda Cohen's the biggest Ranger fan.
But I'm big picture, but I stay loyal, as you know, to my teams.
Gotta stay loyal.
Every time I talk to John Davidson about, like, the Blues and now the Blue Jackets, I always end up, he'll be like, and that's why I think we're really going to contend for a cup in about 5 years. I'm like, John, have you thought about quitting and coming back to do TV?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not that I doubt your plan. It's just you were so much better at
He's running out of teams that have blue in it.
Yeah.
Did you notice?
But well,
all of his teams do blow.
Oh, yeah.
Unless we go Las Vegas Blue Knights, I think he's at the end of his.
Where are we going with that name?
So the latest on that is that they're talking about the Desert Knights, the Silver Knights, and
Game of Thrones Knights, whatever.
The Golden Knights.
Not for nothing. I mean, I get it's the military is why he wants to do it, the army, but like, can we just, I mean, like, why can't we have a gambling term or like,
but dude,
the diamonds, aces?
Well, first of all, because the NHL is not, slots.
You're pouring it on.
The NHL doesn't want to allow gambling names because it doesn't want a team in Las Vegas associated with gambling.
This just in, breaking news right here.
We don't want to call them the Las Vegas Freeze because we don't want a hockey team associated with ice. But here's the thing. You can call them the Asparagus Knights,
right? Can we share it to what just happened?
Oh, yeah. The lights go off automatically.
It's so amazing.
You can call them the Asparagus Knights, and it won't matter because they're just going to be the Knights. They're either going to be Vegas or the Knights.
I like the Knights.
Modifier will go out the window.
Like, what's knightsy about Vegas? Like, knights, but not knights.
That's a fabulous point.
No, you're both wrong. The Excalibur. You ever been to the Excalibur?
That was the
name. It's like medieval times dinner and tournament on the Vegas Strip.
What is it called? The Renaissance? I mean, no, that's a hotel. But they have that thing.
Yeah, but the castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Excalibur.
Right.
You walk in, and the first thing you smell is the carpet, because it's just never been
cleaned. Well, you get it at a good price, Greg, that hotel. I mean, how can you say it correctly? But that's always available.
There's always that one casino, like where, like I remember back when Atlantic City, before the giant collapse of every casino in Atlantic City, like you'd go and you'd look on like Expedia, and you're like, what are the rates? And you're like, $35 for a room at Wild Wild West. I'm in. Then you go there and you're like, holy shit, why is...
It smells like cigarette smoke and dead body.
Why is this 85-year-old woman dancing on the bar wearing strapped-on revolvers?
And she has a gun.
My mom has to work, okay, people? My mom has to earn like everybody else.
What does your mom think the name should be for this Vegas team?
Yeah, what would your mom say about that?
The strippers? I don't know. I said her dancing on a bar.
Pat Wyszynski, my mom, would say the Las Vegas Nice Boys.
Oh.
They're all very nice boys. And
more people would come
hockey
to see the strippers.
I'm just saying. It's Vegas.
The Las Vegas were always moderately disappointed in you, Greg.
But if it was the Las Vegas... The Las Vegas... Are you ever going to get married?
Yes. The Las Vegas Elvises.
There you go.
Now that would be perfect.
That would be great. They could have the fat Elvis mascot or the skinny Elvis mascot,
now,
depending on the part of the season.
Now
Elvis on skates.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but now you've hit on something that I think is the even greater fear than maybe the market's not economically viable for a hockey team, which is which parts of Vegas are we importing for this? Okay, so are we importing Elvis for this? Are we going to have Elvis night? And you're just like, oh, Jesus, you know, are we going to have Donnie Marine night?
Magic night.
Magic night would be cool. Right. That'd be very cool. But I think there are parts of Vegas that you're like, okay, this is great. For example, if every single place in that arena that sold food was a buffet, I think that'd be wonderful. I think that'd be a Vegas-y thing to do, and it would be new, and I love the idea of going back to my seat with mac and cheese, crab's legs, and like and flan.
The line's got to move, though. The line has to move. I mean, we're talking at a hockey game. You know what else would be kind of cool? You know, at baseball games, they have like, you know, in with the Nationals, obviously the presidents, they run, they race, you know, all these kind of things. So put these guys on ice. A playing card, okay, a dice, and little races in between periods of very Vegas-y objects.
Oh, man.
And by dice, you mean, I'm going to race. Oh.
Does he do this often?
To race over
is this
here.
What he does?
He's like, dice, why are you trying to race on the ice? I'm like, shut up.
Before the show, I try to just inject him with like
really?
A tranquilizer. Like, he's getting more mobile. It's hard to actually trank before the show.
Oh, my gosh. How's Team Europe?
My team. That's my team.
Oh, you're going to lose quickly early enough.
Before we get to the World Cup, I want to ask you about ESPN.
Oh, please do.
So do we have, are there a number
24 years and counting, by the way.
Fantastic. All what do you get? What do you get for 25 at ESPN?
I don't know. I forgot what I got for 20. I'll get back to you if I make it to 25.
What's 25? Silver, right?
25 is...
Isn't that about wedding anniversaries?
Yeah,
I don't
not,
know.
Not
I didn't get I was married and I didn't right, get listen. Married. I didn't make it to 25 listen. Years.
Are there a number of hockey fans at ESPN that we don't know about?
Of course.
So why don't they rise up and overthrow the people that are keeping hockey down?
Yeah, no. Well, we have to pay the bills. Yes. You know, when you mentioned NHL tonight, I mean, that's something that I wouldn't be alone. Obviously, Butcher Gross would be so into it as well as I would to do that again, to host that again, to have that, bring that niche back. What ESPN did, you know, with all due respect to the quality people at NBC, it's not about, oh, we do this better, we do this whatever. I know what we do right. When that network wraps their arms around a cause, something, one of their properties, they do a great job.
Yeah.
So they put it out in so many different ways. Like commercials, okay? These hockey players, why does every hockey player that I talked to when I was down in Columbus covering Team USA a couple of weeks back last week, Ben Bishop came out. He's like, I'm so glad, Linda, this is back on ESPN. You, Nate, Patrick Kane, which network is it on? This is so great. I got to tell. They would be rock stars on ESPN because of the outside the ice publicity and promotion of these personalities that we really didn't see. The NHL puts out great commercials, but if you're talking about the network that covers them, I don't see it as much as I would like.
Ben Bishop said, when I talked to him just the other day.
How nice is Ben Bishop? And I'm a Ranger fan, Dave, as you know, and I love Ben
Bishop. Fantastic guy.
What? That doesn't mean you can't appreciate
I know.
But he basically said, like, I'm happy the games are on ESPN because I know that my friends and family are going to watch it.
And I'm what does that tell you?
And I know that NBC's pushback is always like, well, listen, you know, when Levy, in that story.
Yeah, I give him credit.
When Levy was like,
waving the pom-poms.
Yeah, he was like, people can't find it in restaurants or in hotels. And then NBC pushes back and says, well, we're in like every hotel and you can get us in any restaurant.
Yeah.
But there's always this going to be this...
But it's not already on.
That's the thing. It's not already on. And there's always going to be a certain segment of the population that watches ESPN and is not searching out sports on NBC or Fox Sports 1 or
They
any
don't
of the,
think of it. It's not on their radar.
ESPN is sports to them.
Yeah.
And if it's not on ESPN, then it's not a sport.
It's not important.
And that's
important.
Just how it is, except for Sundays, when they'll go watch it on Fox or NBC or whatever.
Right.
But you said, you know, NBC doesn't do anything wrong, but just what do they do wrong? List the things for us, just from worst to best. What's one thing you would change? Go ahead. Let it out. I know you have thoughts.
I don't. No, you know, I really haven't had some deep thinking.
Would you fire Liam McHugh? He's too handsome, right?
Well, you know, I'd like to do his job, to be honest with you.
She would fire Liam McHugh.
I don't have the power to fire him, but can you make room for somebody else like me? No, seriously.
No, he's good.
I mean, Liam's great. What a nice guy he is. No, I mean, it's like I don't do the research. You guys do all the research. You know, for hockey fans loving that product and what they give, I think it's just, again, you can't really find it. And the point is this. It was heartbreaking for me and others at ESPN who live and die hockey, where it's always on its radar, when ESPN lost it. We have a little taste now. We got the World Cup of Hockey, and it's our time to really shine because this is where we have the hockey audience. It's up to us to remind people that we're the best at it.
Hockey fans, it's a tough sell because like I've written before, like it's a sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy that if ESPN doesn't cover hockey on SportsCenter high in the program and their chat shows don't talk about hockey, hockey fans go other places to listen and find highlights. So then when ESPN does its surveys and they're like, there are no hockey fans in the audience, I'm like, no shit, they
trust
all left.
Me, it's very frustrating right. for someone like me when I hear that.
But I think the thing that ESPN could do that NBC can't is... Get people other than hockey people talking about hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And by that I mean, like, it's one thing for Mike Milbury to put out some vicocta opinion about hockey, and you're just like, I know, right? And then you're just like, school. Wow, that's a really crazy thing that he just said. But he's Mike Milbury, and who gives a shit? It's another thing to hear it from a guy on Around the Horn.
Right.
Or on First Take, or
which
any of those
why,
shows.
Which is why, and I want to tell you the story about the whole John Tortorella thing. Because I was in Columbus. My job was to do some features, okay, on Team USA, whatever, you know, USA Hockey allows me to do, right? So they were great. And I know John Tortorella, obviously, from the Ranger days, and also for a little bit cameo appearance he did as an analyst on ESPN during the playoffs.
Wow, yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah, he was on there, and he was on TSN for
right.
like a spell.
So,
basically.
You know, he was. And it was during actually the series when the Rangers played the Lightning, and then the Rangers just forgot to play the last two home games and forgot to have to score a goal.
Yeah.
But it was a joy for me to sit there with John Tortorella and dissect two of his teams like that. But anyway.
Not working hard enough.
So
needs more grit.
So the day before we had the shoot scheduled, Max Pacioretty. Yeah. I want more out of him.
I want more out of you in the exhibition
game. By the way, we have to talk about Max Pacioretty, who I adore and love. And what's Michel Therrien is lucky to have his job. Did you hear that story about him on a golf course saying
he's the worst captain
ever?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
How about you as a head coach? Where do you stand?
He's like smoking on the golf course. Just
because the guy's from New Canaan, Connecticut, they think the guy's entitled and doesn't work hard?
He's no good.
It's weird. Like, if he's a terrible captain...
What does that make you as a head coach? You're lucky to have your job.
If only Montreal had another option for the captaincy in their locker room at the time Max Pacioretty was named captain.
Yeah.
What happened to that plucky young man?
Right. Oh, he's traded.
Yeah, exactly.
Shea Weber. And as soon as that happened, the locker room's just totally split down the middle.
And now he's setting up Pacioretty for the assassination, so Shea Weber can come in and run the sea.
Of course.
It is Pronger Mike Richards 2.0. It is a guy that you think is an ineffective captain. And then you bring in the other guy who's going to be the de facto captain. And then literally there's going to be people that write about Montreal, and they're going to call him Captain Shea Weber just because it seems like
he
should be. And Max is like, hello, it's me, Max.
Yeah.
I've still got the
C. No, and you know, I'm tired of the people that say, the reason why we just went into the tank last year, because we didn't have our Vezina and Hart Trophy winner from the year before, Carey Price. You know, show some guts and play hard. Don't, just blow off the rest of your season. Totally mailed it in. And you had enough talent on that team, you couldn't make the postseason. You know, and Carey Price, last I looked, is not the best goalie in the NHL.
Whoa.
Jonathan Quick is.
Whoa.
Henrik Lundqvist
next. I'm going to give you a little push.
All right. This is why you have to have me on more. I like stirring the pot with you guys.
Well, you can see you've stirred the pot into
twice already. And I haven't even told my torch story yet.
He's not even the best goalie on the Team USA roster.
Jonathan Quick?
Last few years combined, Jonathan Quick's even straight save percentage has been outside the top 10.
Are you throwing those numbers
at me? I think you could put.
I want guts.
Carey
I want
Price.
Will.
I think Carey you could put Brayden Holtby in front of him. I think those two are definitely ahead of him.
You put Corey Schneider in front of him.
Corey Schneider for sure.
Ben Bishop in front of him.
You're not even mentioning Lundqvist.
Who?
I thought so. And you're shocked right now that I put Quick ahead of Lundqvist.
Well, I feel like you've just got the red, white, and blue colored glasses on.
I kind of do right now.
Like, I mean, she's
waving
the flag the whole entire
not only that, I just bought new goalie gear because I'm going to go back on the ice. I've been inspired by this whole World Cup of Hockey.
Oh, yeah?
Spent $1,000 on it. I got a good deal, and I still spent $1,000. I got Hank pads, Bauer Hockey, and I got my new Warrior goalie stick.
Where do you play?
Jonathan Quick.
Wow.
Are you in like a league?
I'm going to be.
Oh yeah.
I got a couple little. Got to do a little more Pilates and stuff. And No, but I'm going to be on the ice Friday.
Now, when you get,
we'll get to that in a moment.
When you get gear when you get gear like Lundqvist, you also need to get all of the
other stuff
he wears to cheat. His big pants, the oversized pads.
No, it's too heavy. Yeah, I don't want to look like a snowball. I mean, I'm still a woman. I have to look at my figure.
I'll never forget. I'll never forget with the capital set.
Trim and slim. It's the slim fit goalie gear I wear. Yeah, come on.
When the Capitals were losing to the Rangers or playing the Rangers, sometimes they
all the time
win all the time.
Yes,
their thing on Lundqvist is their criticism was they said, listen, he makes saves that he shouldn't make because he's wearing gear that allows him to make the save.
Like have they seen Ben Bishop's gear? Have they seen Ben Bishop's body?
Or Corey Crawford, for God's sakes.
Oh.
I mean, wait.
These guys fill a net.
What part of Hank's pads are...
I don't think Hank is a big offender.
These goalies all wear... Well, first of all, like, they're
changing... You just don't like goalies,
Greg. They're changing the pants this year. Well, they're...
Why do you hate Linda, Greg?
No, goalies are deprivers of joy.
Sure.
They're tight. The pants are going to be more slim fit because guys like Jacob Markstrom, for example, were wearing fucking hammer parachute pants under his gear to make saves that he wasn't supposed
to
make.
How'd that turn out?
They slimmed those down. Yeah. And then guys, one of the things that all the goalies do is they wear pads underneath their pads, right?
Yeah.
So what they do is they get oversized pads underneath the pads, and those pads aren't regulated quite yet. And then they just wear these big bulky things they get from Europe and makes, and they close up your five hole. It's all the big schmaz. It's all a big cheat. A bunch of cheaters. They actually
wear a
piece of equipment called the cheater, for God's sakes.
Here's the thing. In high school,
yes.
Greg had a chance to win the States.
Okay. Ooh, backstory.
He came down to a penalty shot, and he tried to go five hole, and he missed the net completely, but he blamed it on the pad.
See, that is such a lie, because I can barely skate.
Oh, my goodness.
John Tortorella, you talked to Tortorella, and you were the one who lit a fire under the hockey world by... getting Torts to talk about having people suspending players for not standing for the national anthem.
Yeah, here's what happened. I mean, it's just, and this is what, when I look at my career and the relationships I have with hockey players and coaches and whatever, I care about that person first. So I saw Torts when I got there. It was after practice. We weren't even scheduled to have a sit-down interview shoot with John Tortorella till the following day, okay? But I wanted to attend practice, saw Torts. You know, we said hi, we chatted. How's practice? Great. He goes, Linda, everything's going great. I said, first question out of me, just like a friend, which I am, how's your son doing? Knowing that his son is in the Army.
Sure.
Right? So he says, Linda, I'll tell you, I got a text from him, an unexpected text from him before the practice today. I was beaming. You know, it was great. You just never know when you're going to hear from him, blah, blah, blah. And I, you know, I asked about his wife and how they're dealing and the dogs. And then I circled back and then I just said, you know, what do you think about this Colin Kaepernick thing? You know, like, because it was falling on the heel. You know, it just was like a normal question one would ask, especially to a parent who has a son in the Army. And that's when he went on his rant. And he said what he said from his heart, and then I picked out that one line. I said, listen, can you save that for tomorrow? But can I go with that line you just said today, and I post that? Sure, I want people to know how I feel. And that's where, from an organic, just a couple of friends talking, and he had no problem getting it out there. And it created buzz to people who didn't even know the World Cup of Hockey existed.
Yeah. Stephen A. Smith talked about it.
Yeah, and boy, yelled about it.
We talked about that on the last podcast.
Truly unreal.
If nothing else, your reporting should be lauded for revealing that Stephen A. Smith thinks that the United States Congress controls Team USA. Yeah.
I mean,
it's a public domain, apparently.
Yeah, and then it's unbelievable. He just totally... And by the way, he's comparing the NFL and the NBA. Oh, that's, you know, private entities. This is an NHL event.
You write your local senator and you tell him Corey Schneider should be starting for this team. You write that down on a piece of paper, you send it to your senator.
But wait, if you have the American flag on your pads and you go into the butterfly, is that disrespectful to the flag? You're sitting on it. You're kneeling on the flag.
Mm. And what if they make the entire ice look like a flag with the miracle of CGI?
Wow.
It's
unreal.
You're skating all over it.
But the bottom line that was great out of that was it called attention. You know, to this event. People didn't even know John Tortorella was still coaching.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Wait, this guy?
Columbus?
Do you think that's a... What do you think? Because I agree with you. I think the World Cup is not on everybody's radar quite yet. Like, even in D.C. last night, as we taped this on a Wednesday.
They're still crying about Kirk Cousins and his inflated stats.
Yeah. Boy. But, like, I was at the
garbage
Team, Team USA Finland game, and the place was two-thirds full.
It was quiet, right?
And it was kind of surprising because the Capitals sell out all the time. And you figure a game in D.C. with Team USA is going to bring together even the guys that and women who aren't Capitals fans come out to this game in Team USA. And it was sort of a dead crowd until the end and about two-thirds full.
It is pre-tournament.
But you mentioned NFL, pennant races.
Mm-hmm. NFL.
The weather is still kind of nice.
Yeah.
I feel like American sports fans need to be taught to like something.
Hmm. Well, that's where ESPN comes in.
Do you think the ESPN could teach us to like the World Cup?
Well, I think they have a fighting chance because the TVs are already on ESPN, like we spoke about before. So then, you know, it is no question. We are told, even me, hockey geek, and others like me, don't assume our viewers know who Carey Price is. And that they even know who Patrick Kane is.
No, they might know who Patrick is.
I think at this point.
I think it's 50-50.
Yeah.
I really do. So,
who do you think are the players that would resonate? If you walked up to a casual fan and said a name, they'd know who.
Resonate?
They'd know Sidney.
They know Sidney Crosby. They know Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah. That's it?
That's pretty. They might know Henrik Lundqvist because of the whole New York thing, you know, and everything. But that's really it.
Do you think getting PK Subban into Nashville, they'd know PK?
I wanted him in New York, not because I'm a Ranger fan, but I wanted him in a big I mean, that would have been gold for the NHL. Absolute gold. Nashville is going to be good for Nashville that he is in Nashville.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
See, I was
don't know there's a hockey team in Nashville. With all due respect, I love the Predators. I love that city. It's one of my favorite cities in the country.
No, it's fair.
It's amazing.
The NHL is in kind of a pickle because, like, honestly, like, I'm watching Finland last night, and, like, Patrick Laine is great.
Oh,
he's
going to
fantastic.
18 years old.
Really, really good. Yeah. And he's a bit of a swagger guy and stuff. But he
speaks well, too.
Yeah, I mean, but he's in Winnipeg. And so we'll see him again. Connor McDavid's in Edmonton. We're never going to see him again.
Yeah, it's a problem.
It's a problem.
That's a great point you just brought up, because I thought the question you were going to ask me as I try to read your mind, Greg, is that if they're for the non-hockey fan, if I wanted to sell some players and say, you're going to watch this guy, you're going to like him. Mm-hmm. The two guys that I would say on Team USA are Dustin Byfuglien and Ryan Kesler, because of what they bring, their brawn. That way they hit people, the way they don't care.
For the Ryan Kesler one, are you going to give them your time machine to back when he was fun to watch?
He's still a noticeable guy on the ice.
He's one of the greatest 42-point guys in the NHL today.
Why so down on Ryan, on Kess?
I like Kess.
You'd love him on your team. You don't have a team.
By the way, if you read my mind, you two would be humming the theme from Thundercats. But if you... I detect a trend
with
you.
How's that go?
Thundercats are on the loose. Thundercats are loose.
No, they're on the move.
Oh, okay. Speaking of cats, I went with
Ruby.
When
you get the lyrics correct,
I went with Ruby, my fiance, to see Cats on Broadway for the first time.
Is that still going?
They bought it back. Have you seen it?
Oh. No, but my boyfriend, Matt, loves cats.
Like the animals or the show?
No, the animals.
All right.
Loves. He's a cat guy.
Here's, no one's perfect.
Have you seen Cats?
Yeah, I know. I didn't grow up, you know.
Have you seen Cats? The musical?
Would he like it?
Here's the thing about cats that I didn't realize. This is a spoiler, but I don't give a shit.
Did they live through the performance?
Here's the thing. The entire show is this. It's about a bunch of cats who are in a junkyard for a once-a-year celebration of their tribe. And the point of the celebration, I didn't know any of this shit before.
I wish there was video to see our looks.
I didn't know any of this shit before I saw it.
Like Jewish people? That? Because, like, you know, the tribe.
Yeah,
so hey, are cats part of the tribe?
They're like, oh, look, Mittens Finkelstein. Welcome back to the tribe. No, so they go to the celebration every year, and I didn't know anything about this, but the whole point of it is they're like, and one of the cats was chosen, and he will ascend.
The chosen one.
Yes, and he will, and the lucky cat will ascend to another existence. And
like
I'm like,
Moses.
Wait a second, like ascend to another existence. I'm like,
what are you thinking?
I turned to Ruby. I'm like, is this musical about them ritually sacrificing one of their own?
Oh, wow. Like, is that so the religious point? Kind of thing?
And so at the, I don't, you've probably seen this in like the pictures of the musical over the last like 30 years. At the end, there's like a platform that rises into the air and there's smoke pouring out of it. And like there's a cat, a dude in a cat suit, and there's another cat with him. And the whole point of the show is they pick an old ass, decrepit, like close to death cat, and they don't show it, but it's implied that they murder this cat. Oh. And she flies to the ceiling of the theater.
Heaven.
And we never see her again. So the whole fucking point of the show is that they kill a cat because it's old.
You are.
And then they all sing about it.
So
Team Europe is...
yeah, let's do that.
One of the older teams.
I'm telling you. They average over 30 years of age. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Greg thinks Team USA is a lock to come out of that group.
I do.
I disagree with both of you. Here's the thing. Canada's going to go 3-0. Czechs are going to go 0-3. Either Europe or USA is going to go 2-1. And it's going to come down to the first game on Saturday.
Yeah.
I am not...
Which I'll be hosting.
See?
Yay, yay.
So Linda Cohn's doing her homer thing for Derek Stepan and,
right.
and you know, all those guys.
Nice off to a good start.
He's got a nice goal.
Yeah. Although it should have been stopped.
Opened up.
I know.
That's a good move, though, when you fake the slash.
That is cool. He had all the time in the world to do it. Never would have that time in the NHL.
Can you send a shout out to me and Lozo on the show by saying that yes. Team Europe's offense is fluctuating more than the Euro?
Write that down so I'll remember that.
Don't credit me with that joke. That's just it.
No, that's just so it's code.
Oh, it's code.
I'm trying to give her something that she can say that's not going to get her in trouble.
But like, okay, everyone's counting out Team Europe because a bunch of like 18, 19-year-olds ran them out of the building. Now, what do we know about young people? They're excited at the beginning.
Right.
They go too fast out of the gate.
Right.
Older people take their time. They know this isn't important. They're going to bide their time until it really matters.
True.
So that Team USA
I still don't think they can beat Team USA.
I think they can.
You know?
I can't believe you. Is it because Linda's here that you didn't complete your thought by saying they blow their load early and then lose interest?
Yeah.
I know exactly where he was going.
I'm trying to save him.
Once she gets to the joke in her mind, there's no point in me actually.
I just want to point out that it's the first time in the history of Puck Soup that a thought like that wasn't followed to not only completion, but then over joking. The land of over joking.
Can you bring that back as well during this podcast? Because I love that show.
Now, I think your point.
There are some advantages, though, of course.
Right. There's
stamina.
Stamina. The look.
Uh-huh. They can go to bars.
Good optics.
And you could pout. You could pout afterwards, and then they'll overcompensate by buying you something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Your mom doesn't pick them up afterwards.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
So anyway, Team Europe.
Like them.
Listen.
Okay. Here's what's happening. Yeah. Let me just tell you what's happening. Right. Obviously, it's Canada and USA out of that group, and the other group. Here's my sleeper. I know I'm not being reactive just because they beat up a bunch of old guys. I like Sweden and North America.
I agree on that part of it. Just the one team I think we disagree on is Europe and America.
Yeah.
Because you're both...
Because you're anti-American. I got it.
Because I'm a commie.
Yeah. You don't like the flag. I know. I could see
I wasn't
you.
All that impressed.
And the floor for the anthem.
I wasn't all that impressed with Finland, to be honest with you. I think
you were or you weren't?
But was not.
No, why
so
would you?
I think the thing with Finland is that people see them and they think, okay, they're the quote-unquote structure team, and Team North America is a bunch of kids skating around without any rhyme or reason.
They got nothing to lose, Team North America. That's the thing.
And they
I know.
Want to be there.
Yeah, they really love us. They want to show people, and they're getting along, and there's good chemistry. They're you know, responding to McClellan. You know, he's used to coaching young guys, whatever, right? So I like it, and I love their goaltending.
I kind of agree, and I think your assessment of the USA-Canada group is correct. I mean, like, it's basically like the NHL said, how can we get USA and Canada to the semifinals?
Yeah. We all know this.
We're gonna put them there.
Of course.
And Team Europe, I God bless them, they're good people, but it's just a mess. It's a mess. I wrote about it this morning. Like, think of it this way. Every other team in this tournament has at least two guys that might have some history together on a line. And you could put these guys together and say, okay, you can put these two guys on the line and feel good about life.
Yeah.
Except for Team Europe.
Well, yeah.
Like, Team Europe literally has not. They have two guys that basically, Zdeno Chara walked into a room. He's like, oh, Dennis Seidenberg. I remember that cat. Sorry about the buyout.
Yeah.
And that's all. That's anybody. Everybody else doesn't know each other.
Who do they play tonight? Who's
it?
They play?
Sweden.
Sweden. I think it's earlier. It's the first game. Because tonight's the big one, the big pre-tournament, Canada-Russia. Mm. You know, Russia has no defensemen.
Yeah,
I mean, that's there. They can score a million goals. They're not going anywhere.
Right, where I'm at on it is, I agree with you. I think I'm actually going to say USA wins the group.
Oh my god!
USA is going to beat Canada in prelims. They'll win the group. They'll pull.
It won't matter. It's then, just who
but,
wins
but
in
hold
the,
on,
end, the best
but hold
of three.
On. That means they pull North America.
Well, that's going to be dicey.
That means Sweden, Canada, North America, USA.
Because you can't hit somebody you can't catch. Wow. And that will be interesting if that is true. If you have a Team USA, Team North America showdown.
Who are you rooting for in that game?
Wow, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I do like the young guns.
I mean.
No, but seriously. Of course, wow. I will root for, let's face it, Team USA against Team Canada is what will make the most money. Not for me. But we'll get the most eyeballs. It'll be good for hockey, big picture. But you can make a case that Team North America in the final would also be good for hockey, too.
I would
bring out these young guys that nobody sees, to your earlier point, Greg.
That's a good point, because I've long said about the Olympics, although Olympic hockey is amazing, it would be better served to have
for
younger
the NHL.
Players in the Olympics to give them that moment. So you have things like when Peter Forsberg was on a postage stamp before he got to the National Hockey League,
yeah.
And I knew his name. Even before there was YouTube, I knew Peter Forsberg's name before he came to the NHL because of the Olympics.
That's impressive,
so
yes.
Thank you. I think...
brag.
I think, yeah, oh, I was...
Hipster Peter Forsberg.
I was right. A Peter Forsberg fan before YouTube.
before I even sent me off.
So I think I agree with you on that. If USA and Team North America meet, which I guess I'm going to say... they are because
that would be amazing. By the way, that also would be good for hockey.
See, I'm torn because I'm really pissed off at our country right now for a number of reasons.
Yes.
But I'm also really sick of millennials.
Yeah.
So I guess at the end of the day, I'm rooting for Sweden
to
be Canada.
But the millennials, you're Sweden to be Canada. That would be boring. The millennials that you're sick of don't even know Team North America exists, and there's a World Cup of Hockey event.
But at some point, don't those teens have their... Like, millennials, like a millennial is like somebody who's 4 years younger than us. So the Team USA is loaded with millennials.
Hmm.
So the under-23 team is like a generation behind that. They're...
I believe that... So you're saying that they're not millennials.
I mean, I don't know. Where's the millennial cutoff?
I don't see millennials with them.
I think if there are any millennials on the team, they'll be very upset that they don't win the World Cup because their parents told them that they're special flowers and that they deserve to win the World
Cup.
Here's
what I think. I'm stirring the pot already. That's very cute.
Stirring
the pot. If Team Canada goes with Carey Price, they're not getting out of anything.
What is this Carey Price thing? I know,
total,
right?
He's just not ready. I'll give him his due. He hasn't played since November. It's the only reason why Team USA won that game.
Mm.
Carey Price was awful. No one's saying it. They're saying he's a little off his game.
He denies that he was bad on that
awful.
One goal. That bounced, that Jack
Are you
bounced
kidding me?
He was like, I couldn't do anything about that.
Two of the
like,
three were just, So tonight's a big night. I don't know if I'm dating your whole thing here by saying tonight.
When you listen to this tomorrow, tonight will have been a really big night.
Wow, so let me tell you what's going to happen. When Carey Price shuts out Russia, he will lock up the job. I tweeted earlier at Linda Cohn that, and it's true. For him, this game means everything. So if when you're listening to this, if he had a good game against Russia, he's got the number one job. If he did not, and if it was just so-so, like let's say, so-so.
Yeah.
I look at my two other guys. I love Corey Crawford. You can't go wrong with Holpe, I know, but I love Corey Crawford. I know he would. But can I tell you, I love Corey Crawford? They're both amazing, but... I love Corey Crawford.
I like Corey Crawford because I think at the end of the day, Corey Crawford's done exactly what he needs to do to give that team the three
cups.
He
makes timely saves. That's how Matt Murray contributed to the Penguins Cup. All he had to do was make timely saves shake off bad goals or so-so goals. That's what Corey Crawford does.
Well, you see, you're speaking like a goalie.
Because you say
timely saves, and Dave and I both know what essentially you're saying is don't fuck up.
Right.
Yeah, just don't fuck up. Like
no,
we've got this.
Like,
just don't fuck up.
No, it's like when my team pulls ahead on an amazing goal, and then they come down and on a 2-on-1, and I make a big stop. That's a timely save. Keep my team in the lead. That's how I define it. It's not don't fuck up.
Yeah, of course it is. That's why Marc-Andre Fleury didn't get back in.
No.
He's like, sorry, boys.
Forget timely saves. What save?
But, like, the thing for Matt Murray is he had to make, like, 19 saves a night in the playoffs.
Didn't Marty Brodeur get into the Hall of Fame by making 19 saves in the playoffs?
No, he was just an elite goaltender.
Oh, stop. Come on.
Completely based on his puck.
Oh, give me a break.
And ability to score from the
other. Oh, I'm sorry. Did they change the rules for Henrik Lundqvist at some point? Put behind the net to make sure that Henrik Lundqvist couldn't do the best thing he was good at?
Mike Richter, right here, man. Mike Richter did more with less throughout his career.
Yeah, he had one good season. He literally had one good season. 1994.
But he was
at the deep end?
Hockey, though.
He stopped 40 shots a night.
He won us the World Cup in 96. Remember the World Cup?
Stood on his head.
Oh, right. That tournament that none of us cared about until
1996.
Right. No, that's
forget this guy's anti-American.
That's the women's soccer World Cup, by the way. It's
that whole stupid argument we have in the NFL. Like, put Mike Richter on the Devils.
He
would have had, at least 3 cups, if not 5.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so true.
He would have beaten the Avs because Marty couldn't. And he would have beaten the Kings because he would have been 47 years old at the time.
It's unreal, man.
It's all making sense because John Quick is like the modern day Mike Richter, where he had one good 2 months.
Never complains, never throws anyone under the bus.
Remember way back when I was talking about Thundercats, and I remember what my thought was going to be. My thought was going to be that you value playoff performance
absolutely
more than anything else. That's
no
why
question. I do that in the NFL too.
That's why you love Ryan Kesler and you love Jonathan Quick.
Right. I love Eli Manning.
Gotta love Eli.
Yeah. You like people who get it done
when it matters
counts.
Most.
Right. Yeah.
And who contribute, not just go along for the ride like his brother Peyton.
Jesus.
You just made me spit take. I'm sorry.
I wanted to do that.
You just got it in my eye. You're going to spray me.
You know, you love numbers. You don't want me to bring back the numbers of the one. Forget the Broncos Super Bowl because that was a joke. I don't even think that was him in there. It was just anybody. I think it could have been you in that uniform.
I mean, because
you didn't do anything.
I have the ring at home. I don't talk about it.
Okay,
a lot, but yeah,
right. Yeah. But the first Super Bowl when he was with the Colts, one pick, one touchdown. Right. Oh, give me Super Bowl MVP. Thank you.
And he blew the one against the Saints.
Right. Yeah. Three TD passes, 7 picks in that postseason in which the Colts won that Super Bowl. That was Peyton Manning's numbers.
So you
love numbers, so I brought that out for you.
So you like Brady more than
I love Brady. He's the best all time.
Montana or Brady?
You know what? Definitely Brady.
Yeah.
I think he did more with less. It's all about what's around you.
So by your but using your
because Eli's had no offensive line and no running game.
Yeah, catch the ball on top of his head and fall down to the ground.
I feel
and
like Brady's
not drop
had
it.
Good stuff around him. I feel like that gets overblown.
Like before pre-Gronk, who is it? Randy Moss 1 year.
Troy Brown was really good.
No, only because he was... Think about all these guys. Look at your boy Wes Welker.
He's
he was
great.
A nothing.
He was not nothing. He was something
outside of the Patriots. He was nothing.
Well, because he wasn't.
He didn't make a fantasy
role.
Team
he
when he was with the Dolphins.
He wasn't
oh,
role.
My God.
The year before they got him from
you
the Dolphins, he
was great?
I'm
but he was not
a really
Patriot?
Good receiver. I'm just
oh,
saying.
Oh, it's like, gone from great to really good.
I'm saying he's like a serviceable.
I'm making my point.
Aaron
serviceable.
Mendes, Randy Moss.
Come on. 1 year, Randy Moss.
I mean, to be
I think
fair,
Brady and
with all the information he has that allows him to cheat and go out there every Sunday and win games by cheating, you think he'd be better than he is, though? Right?
There's no cheating.
I think I think Brady Montana.
It's getting the most
caught.
Out of the rules.
It's the most out of the rules.
And they all do it. It's just they have a commissioner that can't stand the Patriots because he feels guilty from all of his stuff. That's right, and pouring it on the Saints. So he feels guilty about all of that. It's so obvious.
He's taking it out on the poor Patriots.
Well, it's just so obvious, isn't it? And you know what? Don't be surprised. If I was a betting person, they're winning it all. First of all, Jimmy Garoppolo shocked the world, including me. His performance against Arizona.
Oh,
he didn't screw up.
Fine.
He could go 4-0. And you know Tom Brady's going to be well rested. This team might lose 2 games, if at all. And if they did, they're winning the Super Bowl. It's the big FU.
But what if they play the Giants?
It's a big
Giants?
FU.
What if it's Giants Patriots?
Oh, I'm always Giants. I was the one that 2 times they beat.
I think Brady Montana.
I was there in each building.
Brady Montana and Brodeur all have the same thing, which is that I think that they are the perfect person for the systems in which they play. And if you took them out of those systems, I do wonder what they'd be.
You definitely with Brodeur, you're absolutely right.
I think
with Brodeur
Montana,
and the Rangers, no
I think
way.
Montana was the perfect guy for the West
absolutely,
Coast offense.
Absolutely.
And I think Brady's in the right system.
You know what? What's hard for me to go against your argument with Brady is the fact that I've never seen him in another system. Right. So you're right. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. And I'm not going to, but I'm just saying.
Oh, and there's also the point where he's a disgusting human being with a punchable face.
Just because you're jealous that he's married to Giselle.
No, I'm not jealous because I'm a Jets fan.
Oh, that's it. Oh, God. Let's get into your team.
Do we really need, we simply don't have the time. I mean, it's.
I'd be worried about your story.
Years of shock therapy haven't helped me with my team.
You're going to lose Thursday.
Stop. Why are you being mean?
You're going to lose to Rex and yeah.
That's tough. Tough break. Brian Fitzpatrick going to Buffalo.
The last time that happened was really good times. I wanted to change the subject
because
I already wasted too many tears about that Bengals game earlier this week.
You
asked Dave before this question.
That's a lost opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah.
9-7 missed the playoffs all because of that first game. But go ahead.
It could have Jeff Fisher coaching your team.
It's always fun. It's always fun at the end of the season as a Jets fan to be like, hey, oh man, we missed the playoffs. I wonder which game did it. And like this year, it's going to be easy because it's like, oh, it's that Bengals game that we completely screwed up.
No, you'll have others to blame. Wow. Coming up.
Nick Folk missed an extra point.
Don't blame it on the kicker.
Linda Cohn's knifing you right in front of you.
Nick Folk missing an extra point was like waking up one morning and being like, where did the sun go? How come it didn't rise?
Giants missed an extra point.
That's right, with our backup kicker who's now cut without Josh Brown.
Yeah,
we survived to be, all right. Now we're really off of
it. I asked Loza this about the World Cup, and I'll ask you. What team in the World Cup would you most like to be a part of? Be in their locker room, be a member of the team.
I think we all know the answer of that. Team North America.
Yeah?
Well, yes. I've already been in the locker room of Team USA, and they're awesome. They would be my second choice. But, yeah, I think Team North America.
Do you think they're really that fun, though? Or do you think they're just like...
I'd be their life coach.
Connor McDavid doesn't seem like fun.
No, he's very quiet.
Yeah.
He's a quiet human.
Eichel's fun, but not within the context of a team. Like, at a bar, he'd be fun.
He's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. But no, I think it would be cool because I would think, how do you get all these young guys who, you know, all together as one and with nothing to lose and do their thing?
For me, it would
be fun. I'd like to see what's in the minds of the kids.
For me, it'd be Team Sweden. They all
Why?
Seem like that because they're very nice. They're very nice. I feel like Team
Canada. All hockey players are nice, Greg.
I feel like Team Canada is like Mean Girls, where like they all kind of like they probably don't like each other. They all think their kung fu is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Team USA is just whatever. They all have small penis syndrome about Canada, so they don't want to really. I don't want to deal with that. I think Team Sweden knows their shit doesn't stink. They're all beautiful people. They come from a peaceful nation. I feel like if you're in Team Sweden's locker room, eventually someone's going to make a pun. And everybody will laugh at the pun, and then they'll just go back to their business. That's the kind of thing that happens in Team Sweden's locker room.
It's the most insane fucking thing I've ever heard you say.
Why?
Well, yeah.
You said they're probably all shitty, beautiful people that do puns, and that's why you want to hang
out. They're bored. Have you ever been in IKEA?
Of course.
Yeah. It's like that.
How is it like that?
You're given an instruction manual. You put the things together. Maybe one of the screws doesn't fit right.
But IKEA. I've been to Sweden.
Yeah, and it's beautiful there. And nobody gives everybody's
no,
really
they
cool.
They ignore everybody. They just smoke a lot and drink a lot.
Yeah, they're all beautiful. Like it'd be
not all of them.
Be there.
They're not all beautiful.
It would be. I feel like
I expected when I went there that they would all be beautiful.
Shel Samuelson wasn't beautiful, but I would say that overall. Like it would be
yes, Carl Hagelin and Henrik Lundqvist are beautiful.
It would be
people.
Like being at like a celebrity rehab center where it's just very serene, and there are nice people, and you just hanging out all the time and having a really nice time. What about you?
I couldn't do Team North America because
why not?
They would just talk about stuff I wouldn't get. They'd be like, hey, did you see the latest iMessage group chat thing we just did? And I'd be like,
oh, come on, you are hip and happening. Yeah.
I got tickets to the Austin Mahone concert tonight. Right. And I was just like, whatever, man. Right. I'm going to see Skinner.
Right. You want to go listen to my EDM?
EDM, right.
Playlist.
Don't knock EDM, but you're right. That's what they're into.
I couldn't do that. Sweden.
Oh, yeah, there'd be a lot of EDM.
A lot of EDM. That's what they come out of.
I was going to say Sweden, but you really made Sweden sound terrible.
So go for something.
They're like an IKEA.
I don't think you should choose Sweden because you basically look Swedish.
If you like Sweden, go Sweden. I look Swedish.
I am Matt Sundin's body double when he goes on the road.
Hey, it doesn't, if it pays.
All right, so I have Sweden, and Linda took Team North America, so you have to pick another choice.
I'm going to Russia. I just want to get drunk.
Oh, wow. Little vodka. You like vodka as a choice.
Vodka is good. I like the vodka. I like the vodka. I like the party atmosphere.
Do you know the language? Do you know some of the words?
Spatsiba.
Nasvidanya. Vodka soda.
You know, they would be fun.
Yeah.
Nah, they're less fun now that Brzgalov's not there.
David, you and I should probably go and hunt tigers together in China at some point.
By the way, that imitation sounds very Monty Python-ish.
Exactly.
I don't know where most of
my imitations are more like caricatures than accuracy.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Nicole. Hello. Yeah. It's wonderful to be back on the ESPN.
That is very disturbing, actually.
Definitely Russian. Remember in the World Junior
My favorite show was Playmakers, but I understand that Sniffle didn't want you to have the Playmakers.
See, that was good. That was a Goodell Knicks. I mean, that was great.
I miss when ESPN did movies. Remember the Bobby Knight movie? Where Brian Dennehy...
Oh, yeah, who played
Brian
that? He did a good job.
Like, you guys used to put out movies.
Huge. Now 30 for 30 is good.
Now it's all, like, high.
Do you have a favorite 30 for 30?
Oh, there were so many. Yeah, well, you know what? My favorite that was from ESPN E60, which is a difference, was that Dominic Moore one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was sad.
Okay, they did a great job. They did a good job for the 30 for 30, of course, with Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah,
the
him
whole,
and Peter Berg talking
one.
On the golf. The
I think
golf.
That was the first one.
Yeah, the golf course.
I mean, that's a good one. There's so many great 30 for 30s.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite, though, of course, is the Brady one. That one with the that must have been a E62.
What was it about?
Oh man, it was about how he was picked so late in the draft.
Oh, I never heard that story.
Oh my.
When
you are anti-Brady, who is your team?
The Giants.
With me. That's
It's funny you say that because my favorite 30 for 30 was actually, would you like fries with that, the Drew Bledsoe story. I think that was a really good one because he's not playing football anymore because of Tom Brady.
Guess what? Nobody's crying about it, especially in Foxborough.
Yeah, exactly.
He moved on. It's sports. That's what happens.
It's amazing how a fifth-round pick with...
The thing that I always say, just like I made you spit up when I mentioned that Peyton Manning comment, Bill Belichick would be a losing head coach if it wasn't for Tom Brady.
Mm.
No, don't go, it's true. I mean, he's a great D coordinator with the Giants, goes to Cleveland, sucks.
Sucked in Cleveland.
Sucked.
Everyone sucks in Cleveland, though.
And then he comes to the Patriots and starts winning as soon as he made Tom Brady his starting quarterback.
Again, another wild coincidence how a bad coach forever suddenly became the greatest coach of all time. The thing that makes me think they cheat more than anything, I saw this stat, there was like a game on CBS, and it was like the Patriots record at home over like a certain period of time, and it was like 55-5. It was like a college football program.
Have you ever seen a game there?
It's
a huge home field advantage.
It's a salary cap league where players come in and out, and they've lost like five times.
By the way, how about that game? Remember the Patriots played like, I think it was in Baltimore, and all their iPads were not working? And no one said anything about the Ravens shutting it off
because
or their headphones.
Because
if that happened at Foxborough, it would be like World War,
Because they're all using Microsoft Surfaces and they suck.
My point is it was only the Patriots.
A child would use to learn the
alphabet. Communications were down.
Now, here's the thing. No, but Loza's points, I assume Foxborough is like the Truman Show. Like, wherever you go, there's a small, tiny camera filming you at all times, and Belichick's like Ed Harris somewhere in the movie.
Right.
Watching the whole thing play out. Like,
100%.
That's all the time.
Excuses. You can't win this division every year of your existence. You just can't.
Without
you can't
cheating,
be.
Correct.
When you're on the radar, when you're on the NFL and Goodell radar, but you can't get away with it.
Don't you think they're at the point now where they've cheated for so long that if they were to reveal all
you
the cheating,
you can't just throw
did,
out that word just because of one situation with the Rams? First of all, Eric Mangini. By the way, give me a break.
Right,
is he now?
Exactly. He leaves New England.
Wasn't
he somewhere else,
an ESPN alumnus?
He was, and I always got along with him, and I put my disgust
who
aside.
Was the, who was the
analyst? Being a cheat himself.
Who was the in-and-out pro athlete or coach analyst
Burgers?
That you hate?
But,
who was the one that was the worst that you didn't like? You're like, I'm so happy that this person is leaving now.
I don't know. I made everyone around me better, just like Tom Brady.
Oh, my God.
Who was the Wes Welker of ESPN analysts?
Who's the most annoying sports fan at ESPN? Who's the one that always talks shit after his or her team wins something?
Oh, man.
It's probably one of those college people,
who do you
right?
avoid on Mondays when you come in?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I can't go there. I'm sorry.
Do you have a hashtag college hockey hat or shirt from Buchegrass?
No, I don't. I love Bucci. But he is more college hockey man than, NHL to me.
Yeah.
Because he's all about It's frightening. It's frightening. You ever see his timeline? I'm a little concerned.
I hope people in the
federal government aren't looking at his timeline because I'd be concerned. He has a lot of followers of, you know,
the weird
young
thing
hockey players.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Buchecross, like, I'll be scrolling through my
and
timeline.
And his shirt's always off, which I don't understand either.
All of a sudden, there'll be...
He's got a ripped body. There'll
be, like, this college co-ed, and she'll be, like, on the beach, and she's wearing, like, a college hockey hat and, like, a bikini, and I'm like... Am I doing it wrong?
We gotta start making hats.
No, I do give him credit for that overtime challenge. Anything that groups the hockey community together is a good one. But no, I don't need to follow. I'm a leader. So the light's on again. See how that God looked down when I said that? The light went on. Thank you.
All right, before we get to the mailbag this week.
The mailbag, good.
Where do you see the Rangers finishing in the...
A lot of changes, have you noticed? Okay, the fan base, and I speak for them.
Of course.
Now, hold on, before you answer, were you one of the celebrity fans that helped recruit Jimmy Vesey?
No, I was. But it was more that, and you know what? Patrick Kane told me, in the Lock Team USA locker room, he's like, first thing he said to me, so you got Vesey. He knows because he always brings up Rangers with me. I don't know why. He goes, God, VC. He goes, you know, I was trying to get him big time. That's what he said. He was out recruiting. Patrick Kane was, and he could not even get him
Linda
to the Blackhawks. And I said to him, it's because he would not get the opportunity to play on your talented team. Your team is so much more talented than the New York Rangers right now.
Where are you on the Rangers fan celebrity fan pecking order? Are you above Adrian Grenier from Entourage?
I think so.
Are you above Margot Robbie?
Who's that?
You ever see Wolf of Wall Street?
Yes, I saw.
The girl from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, so she jumped on that wagon.
You're probably above Anne Burrell, celebrity chef.
I hope so.
Are you above?
I'm a lifelong
Francesa.
Fan. Francesa's not a Ranger fan.
He shows up to games.
You forgot to say Matt Harvey.
Matt Harvey.
Yeah.
Probably.
I'm
above
right
Matt.
There with him.
We're Noah Syndergaard City now, so I think Matt Harvey is probably below you.
No, he's
as well.
An Islander guy, isn't he?
Who?
Noah is, but yeah, Matt Harvey's all Rangers.
Is he?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't remember him being at a game last year.
He was definitely at a game last year. I'm not saying, but he's not bigger than me.
No,
I do welcome him on the wagon because I'm a Met fan.
You might be the most famous Rangers fan because I think you're probably also more popular than anybody that was on The Sopranos, being that show's been off the air for 15 years.
That's, you do give me that. But no, it's true. What was the other question about the Rangers and how they're going to do? You know, obviously the cream of the crop in the Eastern Conference is still the Penguins and the Capitals.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of changes on the Rangers. The interesting thing, the thing that I had a problem with, guys, and I was very vocal on Twitter about it when it happened, and I even told this person before he left the end of the year, they should have did anything they could to keep Keith Yandel. You don't give up that much to just say goodbye. And that's going to hurt them. I'm a big Keith Yandel person. Mm. That's number one. My only hope for the backliner, so I do love, who got a lot of abuse last year, the Girardis, the Stahls, to name two. Kevin Klein didn't have as great a year as he did the year before. So they're well-rested. And you could laugh at that, but being knocked out in the first round will help the older defensemen because they weren't used to having all this time in the off season to recover and get healed again because they were all beat up. Now, McDonough, it's an interesting situation with Ryan McDonough. His captaincy is not a Max Pacioretty situation.
No.
You know, but he was not exactly the same player wearing the C. And Lozo, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard for a young guy to be the captain, especially of a franchise, original six, New York Rangers. And it's going to be interesting to see how he comes off this World Cup and get right into it. You know, Derek Stepan would be a great captain. I know they're buds, but he's good. McDonough is good. Zibanejad is going to be interesting.
That's the real question.
That's the speed. Welker type,
and that he
you
was
could make
pretty
the case
good with the Senators.
Good guy.
Could
good
be
guy.
Great with the Rangers. Oh. Like a transformative player.
And you know, Loza knows this. I'm a Rick Nash apologist, so I'm still waiting for a real center to center a line with Rick Nash, because I've always had dreams of the last 4 years since they got Rick Nash. God, it would be great to have a guy like Taves or Anze Kopitar.
I like Rick Nash a lot as a person, and I've just become increasingly more uncomfortable talking to him.
Why? Because you don't like him as a player anymore.
Well, I don't like him as a player anymore, and
he's 32 years of age.
It's really hard.
A lot of concussions.
It's hard, you know? It's hard to cover a guy that you love.
Yes, exactly.
I don't have a lot of friends in the NHL. I wouldn't consider him a friend, but like, it's hard to cover a dude that you like. That you know is kind of creeping on the downside, mm-hmm. and also is just basically a pariah. Just basically everybody shits on Rick Nash because he doesn't produce to his contract, and you just feel bad. You feel bad that it's kind of gone that way for him.
Plus, you know, he handles all that criticism so well because he doesn't pay
nice
attention
dude.
To it.
Yeah.
You know, he's like the Eli Manning of the, except without the two rings, but he's like the Eli Manning.
Right.
He goes, Eli blocks everything
right.
out.
And constantly in the shadow of his brother Steve Nash.
Right.
That Riley Nash. Remember when Riley Nash came into MSG and hit Lundqvist in the throat?
Oh,
with that shot?
Wow.
That was revenge because his brother Rick.
That's right.
Stopped producing enough for you.
Yeah, he was just like, what's
revenge
up?
For Wanda.
You know, here's the deal. And, you know, this was here's a good question you can ask me. But
okay. I'm sorry. Right. Please. Please.
This is how the show works. Linda has to approve all questions before she gets them.
She's like,
all
right. I just thought of this, and I'm surprised.
When I kick your ankle twice, you ask me.
I am so surprised you haven't asked me this one. If Henrik Lundqvist will finish his career as a New York Ranger.
Hey, Linda. I'm just curious. Do you think that Henrik Lundqvist will finish his career as a New York Ranger?
You know what?
Tell me it's a good question.
Okay, that's a fabulous question. Right,
thank you.
If I'm Henrik Lundqvist and I want to win the Stanley Cup, aren't I going to Dallas?
Yep.
And aren't the Stars throwing everything and their grandmother at the Rangers? And aren't the Rangers considering this deal?
But, see, I completely agree with you, and I think it makes all the sense in the world for the Rangers and the Stars. However,
yes,
it requires Henrik Lundqvist to leave New York City.
And I don't think he's going to do it. And
leave
I'm
John
with
McEnroe.
You. Yeah.
Leave his guitar shops.
His modeling career.
Leave it all behind.
The foundation, everything he does, and he's the face of the franchise. He says that's all he wants is to win a cup.
It's not going to happen.
But it's not happening if he wants to stay with the New York Rangers. I mean, everything's got to go amazingly right this year. And then he's only got a 3-year window, really. Because what is he, 35?
Something like that, 34, 35.
Somewhere in the
It's more the team than him at this point.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. Even though Greg doesn't think so and doesn't even talk about him as an elite goaltender anymore.
He's like, Marty Brodeur could go in there right now and win the cup.
Yeah,
the
right. But it's not. It's the people around him. It is.
Brodeur was a better goalie than Lundqvist.
Who?
Brodeur was a better goalie than Lundqvist. There's no disputing that fact.
No, of course not. Linda, would you like to wait?
I can't go there.
Wow.
Sorry.
Who's better, Cam Talbot, Marty Brodeur?
Cam Talbot or Marty Brodeur? I'll go with.
So it goes.
I'll go with Brodeur on that one.
It goes. John Van Beesbrook, Bob Froese, Marty Brodeur. He's just ahead of Kevin Weeks. Is that how it works?
All I'm telling you is he was just one piece of those three Stanley Cup champions.
But do you think he leaves? You say no? You think he's here for the long haul?
I think if he really wants to win a Stanley Cup in the next 3 years. Odds are stacked against him. There's nothing more than I would love to see him as a Ranger and stay a Ranger and win a cup. If I was his representation, I would be rich.
Mm-hmm. Of course,
I would be on this podcast for you too.
She thought about it.
I stopped for a second.
Before we get the mailbag, I want to ask you a question. Do you think we'll ever see a woman, Manon Riome, for reals,
right.
and play goalie in the NHL?
Oh, I was ahead of my time, and so was she. I don't know. I don't think it's necessary.
You have Shannon Sabatos. So what's right? I don't know what your last name is.
Yeah, the Canadian.
But yeah, playing minor league.
Yeah.
And I always thought that, you know, that's a position where a woman could, in theory, break through.
Well, now with the goalie interference rules and there's really protection for the goaltenders.
Right, exactly. Could it ever happen?
It could, but, you know, life won't end if it doesn't.
Right.
I mean, I have no problem with that never happening.
Mm-hmm.
There are enough quality men goaltenders that are endless that are looking for an NHL job.
As long as there's a Finland.
The Czech Republic. But again, I don't know.
Maybe that's the problem, is that we're only focusing on men goaltenders. There's how many good ones are there? 20? At least 40 openings.
Right.
Like, if you took the best woman goaltender
on the
planet,
tried out for the Panthers.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
I mean, it was bullshit that you got cut. I don't know.
I don't know how that happened. I could have at least sat on the bench.
But I think the best.
Al LaMontoya.
Have you ever been an emergency goalie at any point?
No, I would have loved that.
That was, yeah, because the Oilers almost had a woman play goal for
But
them.
I did play, you know, my last time I was on the ice in a game was in, almost a year ago, Rangers Charity, but it was all like former players. And on my, I thought there'd be like, I'd take a break, I'd play a half or one period, maybe two. The guy on the other end, there were three different goalies on the other end. I played the whole game, lost 13-12. Thought I played well.
Well, where is your question going to be? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, like, if you took, who's the worst goaltender now?
Okay.
All right, think of it like this.
Worst starting goalie?
Right.
You took Mike Smith from the Coyotes.
Somebody who plays 20 games. You don't think the best woman in the world could do something similar to what?
You can make a case.
Two times 30 is 60.
I don't know. I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't have to tell you guys. You go ice level and see how hard those shots come. It's a different game, and the quickness and the speed.
You're better than Jonas Enroth.
Right. If it's like a five.
Let me think about it. The way he's played in pre-tournament games, I give you that.
Like if it's like they're short goalies. Like who's the smallest goalie? 5'9" probably. So if there's like a 5'9" woman who's technically sound,
speed is
quick.
Speed is amazing. I'm telling you.
I don't know.
I think you could play. It's now time for the Puck Soup mailbag, where we go to the listeners and they send in questions for all of us on the podcast. Michael Castillo writes in, what is the proper way to store ketchup at home? How do you store ketchup at home?
In the refrigerator, turned upside down, because you know how these ketchup bottles, first of all, I don't have ketchup. It's not good for you.
No,
it's full of sugar. But that's me. Do we have to get back to Greg's diet to help him as well?
Dave's like, but it always gives me such energy.
Yeah.
That's why
it's full of sugar. But you store it upside down because the bottles are now made where you can do that. So it's not like the old Heinz commercials where you're, you know, tapping bottle so it comes out.
Well, first of all,
there's no tapping the bottle anymore because you get the squeezies.
Right.
But I now keep it in the fridge only because Ruby told me to because I always just kept it in the pantry.
No,
just like
always
it goes
fridge.
Bad. I'm like,
mustard
what do you
too,
think?
Yeah. Fridge.
Well, like, what do you think? Like every diner puts their ketchup in a refrigerator every night? No, it's just out. It's just out.
But
it never
those
goes
go,
bad.
But those go quicker than yours because they're at a diner.
That's a fair point.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Good thinking. Mm.
Tom Ginsburg writes in, rank your top five potato chip flavors.
Oh, I did this the other day on Twitter.
Also bad for you.
I mean, I'm not going to, I don't think we have time for top five.
Is this the time
five.
I can go to the bathroom?
I'll just say this. You did yours right. You did yours yesterday.
Hold on. I got to call him.
Salt and vinegar is my favorite potato chip flavor. Do you have any?
If I had to eat a potato chip.
If you were forced to eat a potato chip,
that's
it would
gun
be.
I like barbecue.
All right. Yes, if a Brazilian security guard had you at gunpoint and had a gun to your head and you were like, whatever, man, and said, I'll let you go if you eat this chip, it would be barbecue.
Yeah.
All right,
here we go. Salt and vinegar, 1. Sour cream and cheddar, 2.
Ooh.
Nacho Doritos, the originals, 3. Cool Ranch Doritos, 4. And then 5, tomato and basil.
Terrible. By the way, Cool Ranch over nacho cheese all day, every day. We'll do one more here. I'm gonna pick a winner. Oh, we'll do one more. Yeah,
Corey
ZVB writes in.
Sorry, Corey.
ZVB writes in.
Next week.
Who would get the furthest on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? The famous question and answer show, probably hosted by who? Cedric the Entertainer these days. I don't even know who's hosting.
Meredith Vieira. No.
Boy,
no,
talk about anymore. Stealing money. I would love that job.
Game show host of
yeah.
You had an agent in the family.
That's right.
Help you out.
I know.
My dream, and I'll make it happen at some point on this podcast or another podcast, which is to host a hockey style Family Feud show.
Let's do it.
I would.
Would you invite me?
Go back to the beginning. That is the bucket list.
So like top 5 inches on the board. Name your favorite hockey player. Like
right.
Hockey players answering regular.
Right.
Questions.
And then you buzz in and say,
who is
His winky. And then I'm like, what?
And then it winds up being number one.
I think it would be a hit in Canada.
Yeah.
All right. ZVB wants to know, who would get the furthest on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Jeremy Roenick, Mike Milbury, or Pierre Maguire?
Oh. It has to be Pierre. The guy has a brain. Yeah. I mean, meaning he remembers everything. He's good comprehension.
I think Pierre is not the answer, because I think his knowledge base is too wide. He'd second guess himself.
He knows a lot.
He's also really stubborn in what he believes, and I feel like
he's the oldest guy too on the list, so he has the most knowledge.
He's older than Milbury?
I would say so.
Really?
Yeah. No.
He looks good.
Yeah, Milbury looks like a catcher's mitt.
Wow.
Wow. Tweet that out.
God.
Wow.
I don't know.
All right.
Finally, Los Dango Bernalabas, a.k.a. Dan Straight Edge, wants to know, I have a cold. What makes you feel better when you have a cold? I would say wearing a sweater under blankets. And the thing that I whenever I have a cold, no matter what the cold is,
yes,
it's always saltine crackers, even if it's not bad belly. And
just because you like crackers.
Yep, and then also ginger ale.
Okay, for me, just OD on vitamin C. It works.
Same thing, but NyQuil.
There's an alcohol content to that. That's shocking.
It's
a nice buzz.
She's got a tall glass of orange juice on ice, and you just pour the NyQuil.
No, just
over
the supplements.
Ice.
Orange juice is a joke.
Do you mean like
vitamin
like
C supplements?
Like coldies?
No,
like the preventative.
Just go
stuff?
To anywhere. Says vitamin C, and take a lot of them all throughout the day.
Are there other letters? Like, yeah. Is there a D?
Yeah, but in case of a cold, go with C.
Do these come in shapes like the Flintstones?
Nowadays they come in gummies, but probably not as effective.
I got some gummies in Denver when I was there, and they certainly definitely cleaned up my cold.
Like when I have a cold, no matter what I do, vitamin C, whatever, it's just there for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
I don't have the immune system at this point.
Linda Cohn, you're the best. So where can people find you during the World Cup and all that other stuff?
Okay. I am doing hosting duties, and I don't want to date the podcast, but starting September 17th, group play begins.
Saturday.
You will see me on ESPN2 and then on ESPN News and USA Plays Team Europe. You will see me with Brett Hull and Chris Chelios beginning then, and you will also see me doing random features throughout our coverage.
Who do you have lined up for the features?
Well, I did. It was played last night, the three goalies, all three of them in a row, and then right after it, Quick was officially named the starter, but they did a rock, paper, scissors thing, you know, because I asked them, how are you going to... It was really cute. It was really fun. They were all in. They were all fun. You know, I asked them, what is this about us goalies? They think we're all nuts, and you know, I looked at Ben. I go, Ben Bishop, you're not crazy. You know, so it was fun. But I have fun features coming up. Ryan Kessler, he does his Between Two Zams. It's a little feature. I'll interview some players from Team Canada. I have Patrick Kane, Dustin Byfuglien, sat down with both of those guys. And TJ Oshie, seriously, a great story regarding his family and what he has to overcome and what his daughter goes through and just, you know, all these kind of things. So it's a nice
interesting concept, a fun coverage of hockey.
Really bringing out the personality and getting people to watch through human interest, which is what is done in the Olympics.
This is actually kind of rude because you're going to do this for 2 weeks. It's like giving somebody free drugs for 2 weeks and then the drug dealer moves to another country.
Listen,
another country.
I know I'm going to go through withdrawal too.
Right. Yeah.
It's awful.
Drug withdrawal.
Drugs are great.
So anyways,
guys. I really appreciate you having me on. I hope I can come back.
I'm Greg Wyshynski of Yahoo Sports. You can find my stuff at Wyshynski on Twitter. You could
find
all my stuff on
Same
PodDaddy.
With this guy too.
There's also another podcast to do called Merrick versus Wyshynski. And then my book, Take Your Eye Off the Puck, is still available from Amazon.
Can I get a copy?
Yeah, of course.
All right, good.
Wait, I didn't get a copy.
I just got new copies.
Well, I want a signed copy.
So where can people find your stuff, Dave?
Yeah. On Twitter, with your 5,000 different names.
I saw my Jim Beam bourbon at pretty much any liquor store that you can
sell my pencils at several street corners.
How's that store doing? Business good?
It's doing really well. Okay, ever since I started promoting Jim Beam bourbon, the sales have gone up.
Nice.
You can find me on that 70s show reruns on many networks.
Oh, you mean Jim Beam bourbon? The name's so nice you say it twice?
It's really good.
And you're a body double four.
I do work on the side for Matt Sundin, but really my passion is Jim Beam bourbon. So please go out and buy it because I get a cut of every bottle sold. It's delicious.
Wow.
And Book of Eli, I'm in that as well.
And then finally, I suppose to celebrate hockey's return to ESPN, we should all finish the show with a rousing rendition of the ESPN hockey theme song.
Thundercats are on the move. Thundercats are loose. Feel the magic, hear the roar. Thundercats are loose.
Thunder, thunder, thunder. Oh, I love Barbara Streisand. I saw her at Barclays. She's one of my faves.
They sacrificed a cat at the end. It was all about genocide.
Oh. I love that song, too.
Bring your kids to cats. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Nerdist. And we'll see you next time on Puck Soup.
Woohoo!
Oh, you have to say your big goodbye.
No, I'm tired of doing that.
Say it.
Say your big goodbye.
Jim Beam bourbon. Barrel-aged Beechwood combed or something.
Beechwood combed.
I forget the slogan. I forget the slogan for how it
Look
goes.
Look it up.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Thank you.